Welcome to the New Books in Political Science podcast. My name is Heath Brown. Today I have the real pleasure to talk to the author of Before the Oath, How George W. Bush and Barack Obama Managed a Transfer of Power. The author is Martha Joint Kumar. The publisher is Johns Hopkins University Press. I hope that you really enjoy this interview that I did with her today. Welcome back to the podcast. Again, my name is Heath Brown, and I have the real pleasure to talk today to the author of Before the Oath, How George W. Bush and Barack Obama Managed a Transfer of Power. Martha Joint Kumar is the author of the book. Martha, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, and thank you very much for having me as your guest, Heath.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have read the book. As you know, this is a subject that I have thought a lot about. I have cited your work more times than I can ever think of. Before we get to the work, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about some of your very interesting things that fill up your day, your academic work, but also where you sit. So just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I recently retired from Towson University, where I was professor of political science and focused on the presidency and particularly on the White House, which is the part of my research. And I started researching White House communications in 1975 when a co-author and I started working on a book on the press secretary. And we went into the White House. My job was to get us into the White House and get us an interview with the press secretary, both of which I did. And we spent one day in there talking to reporters and some others, some officials, and we decided at the end of the day there was a more interesting book than just the press secretary. It was one on White House communications and how it operated, because we could see from that one day that there were more people involved than the press secretary. And I guess that really started me on doing research based on observation and interviews. So that we talked to White House officials throughout that through the Ford administration, and ending that January with a long interview I did with the Chief of Staff, Richard Cheney. And we found that communications was an important subject and aspect of everybody's job. So that's how I decided to do research, was simply talk to the people about how they do their work, what the interrelationships are, what their goals are. And so in watching how White Houses work, and I've been in the White House on and off since December of 1975. And since 95, I've been there for a good slug of time. And if I'm not at school, now, of course, I'm not, then I spend my days at the White House. And I spend it talking to reporters. I have a seat in the basement of the press room. So I watch and talk to reporters about how they do their work, and then talk to officials as well about their work. And I'm seen as an objective scholar, and I've been able to go from one administration to another. It simply hasn't mattered who was president, and I've managed to stay.
Yeah, and so I believe. Please go ahead.
I was going to say, and so that really morphed into an interest on presidential transitions, because I could see how important transitions were from one administration to another. And so I got together a group of scholars for the 2000 election, and the Pew Charitable Trust funded us. And we prepared information for whoever was coming into the White House, with essays on the key White House offices, on the responsibilities of the directors and the functions of the office. And those essays or analytical pieces were well used. And then Carrie Sullivan from the University of North Carolina had information on the president's daily diary and what people can expect. Looking at those diaries through the first 100 days, as well as information on presidential appointments. And then he had put up information on the website. And that website has been used by succeeding administrations, and they've also used our briefing books as we've updated them, and they've gone from one administration to another.
Yeah, I've read all of these essays multiple times. Most people don't pay as much attention to presidential transitions. In fact, this time period kind of goes by in a blur. I wonder if you can just summarize, sort of in theory, what do you miss if you just pay attention to the campaign and then the first day in office? What important stuff goes on during that time period that all of us should pay more attention to?
We should, because then we should encourage candidates to devote time and the energy of staff in preparing to come into office, because you can get a good sense during that time. You can get a good sense of how they're going to govern. You want to see them establish an operation early so they can take advantage of the lessons from the past. Because there are things that that one can learn, like the importance of recruiting, of having one person who recruits people for not just White House jobs, but for administration-wide jobs, that they devote some attention to that, and then establishing what the rules are going to be, what kinds of people are they going to be interested in. It takes a long time to get somebody through to confirmation. So you want to have an idea of who you want. And you have to have an idea, too, of your decision-making system. Who are your White House staff, the senior staff, going to be? And what kind of relationship are they going to have to the president? Are these people who have experience only in campaigning, or do they have experience in governing? What kind of mix are they going to have? Then you want to have people in place early, because the sitting administration, at least in Bush's case, reached out to both sides in the summer of 2008, both the McCain and Obama people, asking the candidates to appoint a representative to come into the White House and talk about issues such as software for handling resumes once there's a president-elect, because there's a flood of hundreds of thousands of resumes that came in. And how are you going to handle that? And the Bush people, through Josh Bolten, the chief of staff, said that they would buy a piece of software if the representatives of both sides could agree that they would use it, which they did. And then they worked through some other things like national security clearances and how that was going to work, as well as the memorandum of understanding that allows, which has to be signed by the incoming and outgoing administration, that allows the teams who come in on behalf of the president-elect go into the departments and agency to get information on programs, positions, budgets, and that sort of thing. And you want to do that early. And so it makes a difference to have an operation up and running, even though there is often a charge of hubris if somebody starts. Like, there was even a criticism of Obama for appointing John Podesta in July of 2008 to handle his transition. And that seemed to be starting very early. One of the cable anchors on one of the cable networks, it was David Schuster on MSNBC, was critical of that move. But it was far from early. I mean, Clay Johnson, who is the deputy for management at the Office of Management Budget said it would be irresponsible not to start early. And I think that is correct. It's not hubris. It is simply good management to start early.
Right. And this is one of the first things that I think surprises people is that, you know, a lot of this stuff is going on during the campaign. And so although he eventually lost, John McCain was preparing as if he was to win. I wonder how you would characterize the transition operations, that is the pre-election transition operations, of John McCain.
Josh Bolton, who was Bush's chief of staff and dealt with both the Obama and McCain people, characterized the McCain operation as something of a family operation, whereas the Obama one was a corporate one. And you could look at it in just in terms of the people involved. In McCain's case, he had a handful of people who were involved. You had basically about a half a dozen people, but you also had volunteers, like in the area of personnel, that came in for part of the week from other parts of the country. So it was a small operation. In the case of John Podesta and his transition operation, if you put together the policy teams and the agency review teams that they had, but of course they went farther because they were the president-elect. Obama was president-elect, so they had to have more people. But their operation had 617 people, which he was able to successfully manage. The McCain operation would have been a same party transition. And so that's quite different than a change of party transition, because he didn't feel the same pressure to change appointments very early, because he would be carrying on some people from the Bush administration. And so he also would not have made some of the very early actions, like on reproductive rights. He might not have had the same executive orders that that Obama had, because we have a change of party transition. One of the first things that the incoming president wants to do is put his stamp on the administration to say who he is and how his leadership is different from the person before. But in a same party transition, you know, you can have a cooperation of the sitting administration and the incoming. In, for example, when Reagan was president in the fall of 1988, he appointed a new Treasury secretary, and the person was Nicholas Brady, who was a good friend of George H.W. Bush. And Richard Thornburg became the attorney general. And he also was somebody that Bush wanted to see in that spot, as he did Laura Cavazos, who was the education secretary. So when Bush came in, all of those people came in, and two of them stayed the length of the administration.
So, and as your title suggests, these transition periods are as much about the new president as the outgoing president. How did the Bush administration approach this 2008-2009 transition? Were they hospitable to the Obama transition team, or were they less hospitable? The stories we have heard from the past about some of the hijinks that that went on in previous transitions. How did they approach this?
They approached it in the context of two wars. That President Bush talked to Josh Bolton in December of 2007 about having the best transition they could have, and he said it was important with two wars. Now, all presidents say they want to have the best transition, but they don't usually say it a year beforehand. And so he set the tone, and they went beyond what other administrations had done in trying to foster a climate that was going to be very hospitable and helpful in ways that have not been the case in the past. Like, I think the early work on the Memorandum of Understanding, bringing in both sides to talk about the software, making sure that they had early clearances for whoever they wanted to appoint for their transition and then into the administration. So they worked early, much earlier than the laws called for them to do.
Now, and what about the Obama transition team? They had pulled people who had done this before. Are there any novel or innovative things that define the Obama transition that make it stand out?
They started fairly early with Pete Rouse, and then having who was the chief of staff for Obama, but he ended up involved in the campaign, and so that position was taken over by Chris Liu. I think that they worked early and were able to take advantage of the opportunities the Bush people gave them to gather information. But I would say one of the unique parts of it would be the circumstance that they were in. The financial meltdown came up in September, and they had to put a lot of attention to that and get involved in legislation, like the TARP legislation, and then also in discussing with the Bush people whether they would give, whether the Obama people would give them the name of somebody to appoint for as an auto czar for the auto bailout. So there were ways in which they really had to begin making decisions, governing decisions, while they were still during a campaign. And so I would say that it's not unique, but it really is a very important aspect, it can be, about a transition.
Now, we're in the midst of the 2016 campaign. Do we have any hints of transition planning already starting for the major candidates, or is this the phase when things are on such top secret status that we really don't know what's going on yet? Are there anything percolating up?
I would think they would be fearful about having it come out if they were working at this point. But what you can do is just simply appoint someone to be responsible for, as a candidate, appoint somebody to be responsible at an early time period for finding out what information is out there and gathering the information. So, for example, Bush did that. George W. Bush did that with Clay Johnson, who was a longtime friend and who handled personnel for him. And he became his chief of staff when Joe Albaugh went to the campaign. And that was in June of 2000, was the June of 99. And mm-hmm. So he started working early on going out and talking to people like Jim Baker and George Shultz that Bush told him he wanted him to go talk to them. And then he worked on his own. And that kind of activity is a good thing to do, and you can start it early. But at this point, you wouldn't want it to surface. One of the things I think that is useful of appointing somebody early is what lessons have people learned about a campaign and what kinds of things that you say during a campaign get you in trouble when you're governing, and how can you limit those? And so if you have people that are interested in governing and can talk to the people involved in the campaign, including the candidate himself or herself, you can see what kinds of things have caused people trouble. For example, promising that you're going to have the most ethical administration. That's going to provide a context for your presidency that anytime anything goes wrong with one of your appointees, you know, your comments from the campaign are going to come up. Same with transparency. President Obama had talked during the campaign about the importance of transparency, and that's brought up to him every time mm-hmm. that you know, that they decide to have a meeting where they don't allow cameras in, and especially if there are large meetings and cameras aren't allowed and reporters aren't allowed, his comments come back. They definitely come up in the briefing room and elsewhere.
Right. Be careful what you promise. Be careful what
That's
you say.
Right. Yeah.
Martha Joynt Kumar's book, Before the Oath, How George W. Bush and Barack Obama Managed a Transfer of Powers, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, available at their website and I'm sure in other places. Martha, thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, thank you, Heath. I really appreciated it.